Welcome to Vegas Inc. Radio. I'm Dellen Goldberg, host of the show and business editor of Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. Over the next half hour, we'll discuss how to entertain guests and network for your business. But first, we turn our attention to commercial development, specifically in downtown Las Vegas. Tony Hsieh and his Zappos company is moving down and attracting lots of other companies, from banks to startups. I'm here with Vegas Inc. reporter Eli Siegel, who recently looked at the commercial development happening downtown. Welcome, Eli.
Hi, Dellen. Thank you.
So what's going on? What can we expect to see that's already up or in the next several months in downtown?
Well, downtown's gotten a lot of attention, as you know, for its new retail offerings. A lot of new bars are being planned. Pizza places seem to be all over the place. New restaurant ideas are being hatched. Lots of new retail already there and in the works. But what you're now seeing is more traditional, well-established companies looking to move downtown. They haven't gone there yet, but a number of them are at least thinking about it or making some pretty solid plans. There's a community bank in Las Vegas called Meadows Bank, and they are planning to open a branch downtown at the corner of South 4th and Lewis Avenue. And the CEO of the bank, Arvind Menon, he told me that one of the main reasons they want to go downtown to open a branch down there is because, as he put it, the energy surrounding Zappos and the city's Symphony Park development, which of course includes the Smith Center and other, you know, and other projects. So,
well, and Mayor Carolyn Goodman and other city officials have said that 2012 is the year of downtown, and that's where a lot of our resources are going and the attention's going. Do you think it's going to be a success? I mean, have businesses opened and are they doing well?
It could be a success. As far as I can tell, the only non-retail business to come downtown recently, at least one that's gotten a lot of attention, is developers Mark and Jeff Fine. They moved their offices to a small building downtown. I think it used to be a bar, and so they've opened their offices down there. But then what you see now, like, is other companies looking to go down there, and so whether they actually end up going or not, you know, it's tough to say. But whether these companies that are mentioned in the story, whether they themselves actually end up going there or other companies go, I think you will see more companies moving down there, because Symphony Park is a huge development. It's brought a lot of culture and civic institutions to downtown, types of institutions that were sorely lacking. And a lot more restaurants are there. So there are a lot more amenities that will attract, or that should attract, more traditional, well-established companies to go downtown.
And the bank and the restaurants are moving in anticipation of the 2,000-some Zappos employees that will be down there. Presumably, at least some will live there, so they'll need a place to bank and do their laundry and get their food.
That's right. And not only that, but, you know, what Meadows Bank told me is that with all these Zappos employees coming downtown, Tony Hsieh and his group, he's the CEO of Zappos, of course, he and some of his investors, they've been financing a number of startups. And so a lot of small, you know, very small, maybe one or two person startups have already started popping up. But once those get more established, you might see other companies popping up as well. And so Meadows Bank, and there could be some other banks, it wouldn't surprise me if other banks start looking to open branches down there as well to serve these small businesses.
And what about the tech sector? That's one of our economic development pushes from the government and the governor. You said some startups are anticipating moving down there, looking to move down there, already are there?
A number have already started. If you go to the website vegastech.com, you can get kind of a comprehensive listing of the Las Vegas tech companies, both startups and the more established firms. And Vegas Tech itself has office space, I believe, at 302 East Carson Avenue, where there's an incubator of sorts where a number of small, you know, one or two person companies are developing their, you know, basically developing their software and their iPhone apps and things like that. And so you are seeing some pop up. Not a lot. It's certainly not at the scale of like a Silicon Valley or, you know, parts of New York City, the Silicon Alley, that area, I think in Midtown or south of Midtown. But anyways, it's not a big tech hub yet by any means, but it's starting to pop up.
And these aren't just local companies that are looking to relocate from other parts of Southern Nevada. You talked to the realtors who are working with a Southern California video game company.
Right. One local commercial real estate broker told me that he's working with a video game testing company in Southern California that's looking to move to Las Vegas, and they're looking to move downtown specifically. He had told me that the company was thinking about taking space in Summerlin, but because of all the buzz surrounding downtown, they shifted their focus.
And is this mostly on Fremont Street, or is it beyond where there's traditionally the government buildings and pawn shops?
Most of the companies would not be going to Fremont Street because there aren't, I don't believe that there are any office buildings down there. It's really just, you know, one, maybe two level retail stores. Where they'll probably move is down by the federal building and the other courthouses down there. That's where you see the bulk of the office space. And so buildings like 302 East California, or East Carson rather, the Bank of America building, that's where those are, I believe, south of Fremont Street. So that's where you would see these companies moving to.
Well, let's move to a different part of downtown. You recently had a story about the Premium Outlet Mall downtown, the Las Vegas Premium Outlet, that they are going to be a bigger Premium Outlet store soon.
That's right. The mall is owned by Simon Property Group out of Indianapolis, which is, they say that they're the largest real estate company in the world. And the Premium Outlets downtown right now is 150 stores, and Simon is going to be expanding that by 25 stores. So it'll be 175 storefronts there. And they're also expanding one of the parking garages. They're adding somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 to 700 new parking spaces there.
And that's definitely well needed because it's always a crowded place, especially on weekends. You talked to one cab driver who said she's noticed anecdotally times are better than during the boom era of Las Vegas.
That's right. I went to visit the mall recently and just walked up to her cab and started chatting with her. And she's a very friendly lady. And she told me that she became a cab driver like 2005, 2006, sometime around then. And since then, this is the busiest time for her in terms of taking passengers to the outlet malls, both the one downtown and the sister property, Premium Outlets South, which is 3 or 4 miles south of the Strip. So since she's become a cab driver, right now she's never shuttled more passengers to those malls than she has now.
That's pretty incredible. You said the makeup, it's mostly tourists and international tourists.
That's right. It's mostly tourists and specifically foreign tourists. When I was walking around there, I heard very little English being spoken. Lots of European tourists, lots of tourists from Asia, and they were buying a lot of clothes.
Absolutely. And any word on what stores? You mentioned 25 new stores. Do we know who any of them are going to be?
One that's definitely confirmed is Saks Fifth Avenue off Fifth, which is the outlet wing, so to speak, the discount division of Saks Fifth Avenue, which, as many of you know, is a very high-end retailer based out of New York City. And they already have a location at the other Premium Outlets, the one south of the Strip. And they're very excited. They say that they're very excited to be opening up a second one.
Excellent. You're listening to Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We're here every Monday at 7 a.m. on KUNV 91.5 The Source. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc., and I'm speaking today with Eli Siegel, one of our Vegas Inc. real estate reporters. Let's change neighborhood and shoot up to Summerlin. There's some big news, again, in retail and commercial property out there that you reported recently. Shops at Summerlin are back on track.
That's right. What some people would describe as an eyesore, or at least the most visible evidence of the Las Vegas building bust, the big steel skeleton over by Red Rock Resort. The developer, Howard Hughes Corporation out of Dallas, they recently announced that construction is actually now back on track, and they have a new confirmed anchor tenant in Macy's.
That's incredible. And so that the project's going to be a go? We're going to get a big shopping mall up there? Is that the plan?
Well, that's the plan. And as we saw 4 or 5 years ago, obviously, previous plans never materialized, and the project was just left sitting there. You know, is that a possibility that could happen again? Sure, it's always a possibility. But right now the company seems very confident that this is going to get done.
Do they have the financing in place? Do you know?
They wouldn't comment on the financing when I asked them how they would actually pay for the project, but they are building projects and they're around the country, and they seem to be making a lot of progress on these projects, including some others that had been essentially not abandoned, so to speak, but tabled by General Growth Properties, which was the original developer of the shops at Summerlin. And General Growth filed for bankruptcy, and then sometime before that, though, I think it was 6 or 7 months before they filed bankruptcy, is when they stopped work on the shops at Summerlin. So they left a number of projects just idling.
That was back in 2008, so this has been a long time coming. If the project comes to fruition, what can we expect will be there? It's more than just shopping centers.
That's right. Well, for starters, the company is saying that it'll provide somewhere around 1,700 construction-related jobs and 2,000 jobs when it's fully open. So that'll be, you know, that would be quite a boost to the unemployment around here. But then on top of that, they're saying it'll be, I think, like as you mentioned, 125 stores, and then at least one hotel, multifamily housing. And they're also saying that there will be a 9-story office building as part of a much broader development out there in the Summerlin area.
So this is more than just a couple Gaps and Foot Lockers. This is a whole essentially complex.
This is going to be a development that would be very similar to the district here in Henderson.
Excellent. And generally, we had in August a pretty good month in terms of real estate. Things are looking up, at least in the residential sector.
Yeah, August was a pretty good month for the housing sector here in Vegas. The median home value rose by about 1% from the previous month. And year to year, home values are up actually about 5%. However, they're down drastically, about 61% from the peak in April of 2006. So things aren't even close to being where they were before the real estate meltdown. But in the past year, things are starting to improve a little bit.
That's all good news. Thank you so much, Eli.
Thanks a lot, Dylan.
Eli Siegel is a business reporter for Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. You can follow his coverage at vegasinc.com and lasvegassun.com. You're listening to Vegas Inc. Radio. Switching gears, we're now here with Vegas Inc. and Las Vegas Sun reporter Ron Sylvester. Welcome, Ron.
Well, hi.
So you recently had the cover story in our Vegas Inc. magazine about the rules for entertaining clients and how to network effectively. You talked to some of the experts in this field. What was your takeaway? What'd you learn?
Well, one thing is, take people to lunch every day. That's the easiest way to network.
Not such a bad proposition.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we talked to Robin Jay, who's a local author, but she's written a national book on how to do business lunches. And one thing that she said that I found really interesting is, especially if you have a small business, that You shouldn't waste a lunch hour, and you should always take people, clients, find somebody to spend that hour with instead of eating at your desk or, eating alone somewhere, because you can use that hour or 2 hours to network and to build relationships. And this is really about, what this is all about. I mean, some people will go out and play golf for 5 hours and build relationships that way. But it's taking a time where you don't even have to talk about businesses a lot of times or make presentations or anything like that. You just get to know the person. And it's really about what I found out in doing the story. It's really about just making friends with your clients and customers, because people want to do business with their friends.
Well, one of the Robin Jay, who you spoke with, noted, and I think it's very true, that you may have a laundromat at the end of your block, but if you don't like the service and the attitude of the people there, you might drive 2 miles to the laundromat that makes you feel welcome and valued as a customer, and the same is true in business. If you feel valued, you're going to choose vendor B over A, even though they might be less convenient.
Yeah, and I think that we all do that. She does a lot of presentations for businesses, and she said everybody in the room raises their hands when she said, how many of you have driven, you know, past the corner store to drive 15 minutes to another place? Because it does. It makes you feel more welcome, and you get better service. And she said everybody raised their hand. Everybody has had that kind of experience. So you want to make the person you're trying to do business with feel special. And, you know, a great way to do that is just take them to lunch. And another thing she said that I really liked is that breakfast is the new business lunch, because everybody's so busy. Sometimes they don't have time to have lunch, and so people are starting to meet over business breakfasts.
That's
now.
Great.
That's the new trend.
Absolutely, and I thought it was interesting. You cite author Tom Peters, who wrote a book also about surviving in bad economy and networking and doing business, and he calculated that, you know, an average of 49 work weeks, if you count holidays, the average business person has 225 networking opportunities during lunchtime alone. So if you forego eating at your desk or by yourself, that's 225 opportunities to make new business contacts.
And if you're in a business where you depend on doing business with other people, as you know, as a lot of businesses are, he said that's a wasted business opportunity if you eat lunch alone. On the other hand, Robin Jay said, you know, she has clients who they've got very analytical jobs. They do a lot of analysis, and they tend to stay at their office the whole time. And she said she's taken them lunch. You know, they can't get away, and so she's actually like made like homemade bread and put together a little lunch and taken it and eaten with people in their office. And she said she did that one time, and she said all the coworkers were smelling the bread, and they were coming by and sticking their head in and seeing what was going on. And another tip that she gave that I thought was really valuable that we don't think of, but it reminded me of being a parent, is to pick up the client and drive them to where you're going. So many people want to meet at the restaurant, and they just say, you know, I'll meet you there. But the reason it reminded me of being a parent is because when my kids were teenagers, and there's still a couple of them who are teenagers, I like to take them on road trips because they're in the car with me, and they don't want to talk to me the rest of the time. But if you're in the car for several hours together, they have to talk to you. And she was making the same point. So even if you're only driving 15 minutes, that's 15 minutes where you have kind of this, the silence would be awkward. So you really can talk to each other, and you've got kind of a captive audience. And then you can go have lunch, and you can build these deep relationships. Robin Jay said that she never... She said, in her words, I've never lost a client who's been to my house for dinner. So you can have them to your home to entertain them. You can take them to play golf. And of course, we found, and I didn't even know this existed, but at UNLV, they have a specific course on teaching you how to play golf as a business networking opportunity. It's called Golf for Business.
And what does it teach you?
Yeah, and they get people in from who are studying law, business, all the different disciplines. I mean, it teaches you the basics of golf, and it's taught by a former PGA pro. That's the Professional Golfers Association, and it's even funded by the PGA. They have the funding for the instructor, and the students really only pay kind of a nominal fee for like golf balls and some of the equipment. But it teaches you the basics of golf, how to you know, play golf, so you're not out there, you know, you actually know what you're doing. And then also they teach you, as a component of that, you know how to spend this 5 hours on that you're there on the golf course, you know, building these relationships and having these networking opportunities. And one of the things that's great about golf is even if you got a beginner, even if you don't, you've got a client who doesn't know how to play, you can play in these things called scrambles tournaments, and so it's you play in a foursome, and you only count the best shot, so you can be really bad, but your shot doesn't count, so it's not like you're terrible. You can still have a good time, and that's the point, is to get everybody out and having a good time.
Or even take them to the driving range, or how about putt-putt? Does that count?
Yeah, and exactly. Robin Jay said at one point that she has played putt-putt or miniature golf. You know, we could take your business clients to the KISS indoor golf course over there by the Hard Rock.
Well, and then that is an interesting point. It doesn't just have to be golf, which is traditionally an executive sport, or lunch. I know Robin Jay mentioned she took people shopping or to specifically a casino for lunch so they could pop a 20 in the slot machines after lunch because that's what the client likes to do.
Yeah, she says as you get to know your clients and your customers, and as you build a relationship, you get to know them on a much deeper level, and you get to know them much more personally than just business. So she does know which of her clients like to pop a 20 in a slot machine on the way out of a casino, which is where a lot of the nicer restaurants are. And so, or she knows which ones like to play golf. And she said, if I can go spend 5 hours on the golf course with male clients, she goes, I can go spend just as many hours shopping. And so she would take women who she knew liked to shop, she would take them to a nice restaurant at the fashion show mall, and then they'd go shopping afterwards. But it's about knowing your client on that level, that it makes them feel special, and then they want to do business with you because you're not just a business associate. You're a friend, and they've been over to your house for dinner, or they've been shopping with you, or played golf, or whatever.
And one of the quick tips from the experts is to jot down notes about these clients so you can remember that they like to shop or ask about their kids, right?
Right. And it's all about making, being able to have that kind of connection with them. She said she used the example of the client who she remembered. This client had a child who was struggling in school because he had reading problems, and she had made some suggestions. Well, you could go and you can get tutoring here, or you can get some extra reading help. And she actually would follow up, not with sending them stuff about do business with me, but here's some places that might help your son. The next time that they met, her son was making straight B's. She had taken some advice, and she was ready, to do business with Robin because of, she had taken that time to care about her personally. As I did this story, I was reminded a lot of what business people have been learning for years through all the Dale Carnegie courses is, how can you help someone else and not just, put the focus on what can the customer do for me, but it's real service. And I think that's what one thing we're great at in Las Vegas is, providing that service. And so, if it expands to other businesses, I think it, really helps. And you can do so much, I have learned, in making those relationships just by having lunch with somebody.
One last networking question. True or false, is it smart to get 4 martinis and garlicky red pasta for lunch? Are there things you should avoid?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. She said if you're with a client who likes to have a drink, it's perfectly okay to have a drink, but don't have 2 or 3. The 3 martini lunches are out. And she said if you ever want to test this, go with a bunch of friends who are drinking and don't drink, stay sober and see how silly they sound. And that's how you're going to sound to the client. And, eating a messy sandwich that's going to, get all over your suit or drip all over the place or something with a lot of garlic that's going to affect your breath. I mean, there's certain things that you do during a business lunch that you might not do otherwise, but it's just having some etiquette.
Absolutely. Well, let's switch gears and talk about a controversial sporting event from a little while back, the Packers game. One casino is trying to cash in on this, at least in terms of publicity. Tell us what the D has done.
Oh, yeah, the Packers-Seahawks game last Monday. Everybody was talking about it all week, you know, whether it was on Twitter or anything, that controversial call on the Hail Mary pass at the end that the Packers, who were supposed to have won, lost and didn't even cover the point spread. So what was there was like sports books here in Las Vegas were saying there was a $15 million swing on that one play, and worldwide it was I've seen estimates as high as $300 million swing. So a lot of people were mad. Of course, people like to bet money here and on football games, and a lot of people lost. So the D downtown, Derek Stevens, the owner of that, came out this week and said, "Hey, you know, I'm mad about this too. I bet sports, so I'm going to give refunds to everybody who bet at the D." Now, you know, some people said, "Well, you know, how many people, you know, do they get? It's a smaller sports book, and it's not. By the way, it's not. This is the hotel and the casino that's offering this, not the sports book, which is managed by William Hill. So you can't just go to a William Hill thing and say, "Hey, give me a refund. This is specifically for the D." But if nothing else, it's you know, it was a great way to call attention to they've got a sports book at the D, which I don't think a lot of people knew. And I'm kind of interested to see how many people were there and how many take them up on it, because you know there's tourists that stay downtown, but a lot of local people go there too. So if they kept their ticket, they can cash it back in, or they could last week. I think the last day was Sunday.
Well, and that's one of my questions, is they came out with this news 2 days after, on Wednesday after the game. You know, was that just enough time for everybody in disgust to tear up their stubs?
Yeah, we'll see. I want to go back and ask him. Okay, how many did you actually serve on this? But you know, the comments on our story when we posted it the morning of the announcement. I mean, a lot of people are just, you know, I don't care if I get a refund. It's just a nice gesture. It's one of those things, you know, where we were talking about earlier. It's one of those things by a business who is, it makes people feel special, or that you're treating them special. You know, whether they still have the ticket or not, because even people who couldn't cash in were, you know, it generated some pretty positive comments on our website.
Absolutely, and the D, of course, is relatively, well, it's not new in structure, but it's new in name. It's the formerly Fitzgerald's, and they just finished a renovation, and so this is a good way to get people talking about them, if nothing else.
Yeah, they'll be finished with the renovation in a couple of weeks. They took down the Fitzgerald sign finally, and you can see the D. I took a picture of it when I was down there the other night. You can see that the D sign is going up, and it's still got the, you know, construction paper on it and things like that. But they're really starting to finish that rebranding. So this is just kind of another step in that.
Good gesture for customers.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Ron. Ron Sylvester is a reporter for Vegas Inc. and the Las Vegas Sun. You can follow his coverage at vegasinc.com and lasvegassun.com. This is Vegas Inc. Radio, part of Waking Up with the Sun. We're here every Monday at 7 a.m. on KUNV 91.5 The Source. I'm your host, Dellen Goldberg, business editor of Vegas Inc. Thanks to Steven Zeller, our producer, and the KUNV team. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your day.